I felt like I needed to do a class that I could just pound through and actually finish the course, which I never do. And so I still might. Y'all are all looking at me like, yeah, right.
We did promise.
Anyway, so and my handwriting's not gonna be that good. I know y'all are already freaking out. Again, Philippians.
Oh, my gosh. Again. Oh, Philippians. Oh, my gosh. Let me show you, please.
Don't look yet. Don't look. Don't look. So I just, there's only 25 verses. And I was going to do Philemon and Colossians, but I honestly don't think I'll get through Philemon and, you know, to have room for Colossians. So I'm pretty sure we're going to end up doing this course, the book of Philemon. And I think very possibly we could actually finish all 25 verses.
Possibly.
I'll be able to go through chapter 2, 3, and 4. Oh, yeah, they don't have that many. Real easy.
Especially if Jesus wept.
For a semester, yeah. Is that a challenge?
Yes.
I'd start the class. Give me a J! Okay, let's start with that. Anyways, how many of you here have, especially among the students that are here, how many of you have... You don't really know what Philemon is about. Raise your hand. Okay, that's good.
I almost forgot it was a book.
Yeah. You're going, what? Yeah. And is that one of the prophets? I'm proud of my handwriting. That's the first time I've written. You know, the rest of it has been using this finger. And then when I typed on my computer, I was using three fingers like this. It was fun. Anyway. I'm going to read you a paraphrase of the book of Philemon, so don't look yet. I'm going to read you a paraphrase. This isn't my paraphrase. This is actually one I think that was done a long time ago, and it was someone, the mindset that they had was that there are a lot of different words that they use that we don't use now, and that there were settings and things that if you tried to clarify it with more whatever. But it's not that modern. To me, it's like Philemon was written 2,000 years ago, and this one was written in 1872, it sounds like to me. So anyway, okay, so here we go. This is the paraphrase. And from this, you're supposed to grasp basically what Philemon is about. It is with the deepest satisfaction and joy that I hear of you and commend you for your generous behavior to all that faith, in the articles of which I had the honor and happiness to initiate you, for which, though I might presume to be an authority to oblige your compliance in a request I'm going to make to you, yet choose I rather to apply myself to you as a friend more than an apostle, for with a man of your amiable temper, I know I need not a more powerful pretense than that of my age and imprisonment. Yet it is not my petition for myself, but in the behalf of a bearer, your servant Onesimus, who has robbed you and run away from you. So far, what have you gotten from that? All right, don't say that yet, but it's fine. What he has defrauded you of, I will be answerable for. This shall be a demand upon me, not to say that you owe me your very self. I called him your servant, but he is now also to be regarded by you in a greater relation, even that of your fellow Christian. For I esteem him a son of mine as much as yourself, nay, methinks it is a certain peculiar endearment of him to me, that I had the happiness of gaining him in my confinement. I beseech you to receive him and think it an act of providence that he went away from you for a season to return more improved of your service forever. I am at present a prisoner in bonds for the sake of Jesus Christ, and as Timothy, the brother who is now with me, desires to join in the representation of this letter, I associate Onesimus with myself as a fellow laborer in the gospel. We greet also thy wife, our sister Aphia, Archippus, your son, our fellow soldier in Christ, and the whole body of the brethren who meet together as a church in thy house. May the blessings of grace and peace be vouchsafed to you all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As regards thyself personally, I thank my God for the delightful tidings I have been hearing of thy faith towards the Lord and thy love to all his saints. I have therefore been remembering you continually in my prayers. Okay. So, what do you think? Do what? Okay, well, let me read the King James Version. Is that okay? All right. And I'm saying don't turn there yet because, you know, this is 25 verses. This needs to sink down into you. You need to hear this. You need to hear it. So I think it's good right now because you can always go back and read it later or whatever. Verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Aphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. It's already better, isn't it? The guy was trying to paraphrase it so we'd get it. And I read through the first half when I first read it, and I went, I don't even know what this guy's talking about, and I know that I'm going to be teaching the letter. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in my stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. All right, and so you see a You see, in my opinion, one particular word that they used back then for the heart, they call it the bowels. And we have another, that's something completely different in our understanding. But back then, it was your very own heart. It wasn't even your affection. It was your heart. You were giving them your heart. Not physical, obviously, but, you know. And so that, I mean, really, just listening off the cuff right now the first time, that's a pretty doggone good letter, isn't it? Okay? All right, how would you like to hear my translation? Okay, I have to tell you that this translation, I wrote it a long time ago. This translation has already been slightly updated and will be more. I already am going through it. And you know how the Lord is. He goes, you don't know it all. And I go, I know that now. And so you won't even find this copy online. It'll be a version of this. And I will, for those who do that stuff, I will give you an updated version soon. I was going to say momentarily, but that's way too soon. You know, in Jamaica, if you say, hey, I thought you were going to do so-and-so, they'll stick their finger just like this, and they'll say, soon come, and they'll leave, and you won't see them for hours. So soon, depending on what country. Okay, this is my Philemon translation. Paul, from one bound for my commitment to Jesus Christ, and from Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our precious and loved brother and fellow minister, and to our loved Aphia and Archippus, a Christian warrior, and to the church meeting in your home, gracious favor to you and peaceful union from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God for you and always bring you up in my prayers, because I hear of your love and faith which you have toward the risen Lord Jesus and toward all those who are in contact, all those who you are in contact with who have separated themselves to this message. My prayer has been that the sharing of your faith may become more effectual by acknowledging all the good things that are in you as a result of union into Christ Jesus' life. For we have great joy and comfort in your love for everyone, because the hearts of the committed followers tell me that they are refreshed by you, brother. Because you have shown such care for God's own, that I might have the right to express my point because of my authority in the message of Christ to cause you to do the right thing. Yet, because of the Spirit of God's love as seen in Christ crucified, I rather beseech you as a seasoned ambassador of his way and as one who is also held by the bonds of Jesus Christ. I want to make a humble request of you for my spiritual son, Onesimus, whom I have brought into the family of God while here in prison, who in time past was unprofitable to you based on his rebellious spirit, but is now profitable to you and to me due to his spiritual new birth, whom I have sent back to you. So please receive him, that is, receive mine own heart and view of him, whom I would have kept with me here, that as a representative of your heart toward me, he might have ministered unto me during my imprisonment for the gospel. But without knowing how you felt about this arrangement and not having your permission, I didn't want to do anything, so that if you chose to bless me in this way, it would be because you wanted to and not because I put you in a position where you felt you had to. But on the other hand, maybe God's plan was that he depart from you for a season in one state so that you would receive him back forever into a whole new relationship, no longer merely looked upon as a runaway slave, but beyond just being a slave labor, now he is seen as a loved brother in the Lord. He is particularly viewed that way by me. But how much more should he be treated that way by you, both in how you relate in the earth as well as how you relate in matters of the Lord? If you consider me to be a partner in the gospel and somehow worthy of honor, then please receive him as you would treat me. Let any honor due to me be given to him. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you for anything, please put that on my account. I, Paul, have written this with my own hand so it can be considered a legal document. I will repay the debt he has built up because I am constrained to do so by the nature of the Lamb within. However, I would rather not mention how I reached out to you with the same hand of faith as I did with Onesimus and pulled you into the salvation we all enjoy, in that you also owe a life debt. But, brother, let me have joy over a response by you based on oneness in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the flow of the life of the Lord. It is because I have confidence in your obedience to the nature of Christ that I have written to you, knowing that you are of such a heart that you would go well beyond any suggestions I might have made. All this being said, prepare for me to stay with you, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be able to come again to your home and your gathering. Greet among your group Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Jesus Christ, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow ministers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with the spirit in which you handle these things. Amen. Sometimes trying to do this with another finger is not easy. All right. The book of Philemon, and we'll get into the background, the backstory here momentarily. But what we're really witnessing is we are, you know, it's not Paul teaching. It's not any sermons or theology presented. What we're seeing is this. We're witnessing these people's lives. We're witnessing a situation that has arisen, and it's a specific situation. And that situation has changed Onesimus, the runaway slave. It's put Paul in a position as a mediator, and it will deeply affect Philemon. It will deeply affect and all that are around him. And so, let me just make sure that we understand who the players are. My handwriting, if that's any sign or anything. Philemon, and he was, we'll go over some of the things here. I'll just write down their names first. Or as they would say in Jamaica, Philemon. Let's see, we'll put Paul here. It's getting better. And then what is it? I got it. Onesimus. All right, so basically it really primarily involves three people. And let me just, I jotted it down like this, the players in our little play. What did someone say once? Life is a, what is a stage? All the world is a stage. And if that's true, I have noticed among you that some of you are horribly unrehearsed. But anyway, but let us move on. And God help us. But anyway, shall we move on? Let's talk about Philemon first. Let me just read a little of what I wrote here. There was a Christian gathering in the city of Colossae, or from where we get the letter, the Colossian church, from where we get the epistle to the Colossians. It appears that the head of the gathering was a man named Philemon. We might assume he was a leader in the church. Here's my base. We might assume that he was a leader in the church at Colossae for two reasons. The church met in his home, and Paul calls him a fellow laborer in the ministry. He apparently put traveling ministers up in his house, as they traveled there and onward. He may have been a rich man, seeing that his house was large enough for people to gather, and he also housed ministers as they passed through. Also is the fact that he owned slaves. Paul had led him to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Paul had led Philemon to the Lord sometime earlier than when this letter was written. Paul had led him to the Lord prior to the events mentioned in the book of Philemon. This means that as this letter begins, Paul and Philemon already had a relationship together based on Christ crucified. Because if you're going to hang out with Paul, am I right? Then that makes sense. Then you're going to know about Christ crucified. You can't get away from that. I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, I quote that a lot, but that's, you know, Paul's determination was not to know, it wasn't that he determined to know Christ crucified. That's not what he said. He didn't say, I'm determined to know Christ crucified. He said, I'm determined not to know anything among you but Christ crucified. That's way different. The meaning of that, the spirit of that. One is, I'm determined to know Christ crucified. And, oh yeah, I'll know this and I'll know that and I'll know this. You see, Paul said, "This is. I'm determined that this is all I'm going to know and not those things." All right. So now, Onesimus. Before this letter had been written and the events that precipitated the need for this letter, Onesimus had been one of Philemon's slaves, okay? I'm sure you figured that out by now. But if you didn't, this was the rich man, and this guy was one of his slaves at one time. And as we'll find out, he ran away. He was a runaway slave. Onesimus had been one of Philemon's slaves. There is a possibility that he was a black man, though there were white slaves in those days. This letter from Paul to Philemon gives us the basic events that had happened recently involving this slave. Quite possibly, Onesimus had stolen some things and escaped slavery. Onesimus, as a slave, had resisted his master's rule over him and fled. Now, that's important. To understand, it's important to understand that this slave had run away and was resisting his master's rule over him. We might assume that he also resisted his religion as well, right? Because prior to this event happening, Paul had led Philemon to the Lord. Philemon continued to grow and to get involved, opened his home up, right? And church would gather there. And there's a really good chance that Onesimus either, you know, hearing his master talk, or his master came and talked to the slaves, or he invited them to their meetings, probably not, but then he could have walked by and heard them sharing, any number of things, singing, all sorts of things. But Onesimus did not receive the Lord under Philemon. Okay. Of course, I just said a bunch of this, but remember, Paul had led Philemon to the Lord, and the church in that area met in his home. Quite possibly, Philemon had talked with his slaves about Jesus, or at the very least, in his service around the house on Sunday, Onesimus may have heard something from their meetings pertaining to the Lord. He apparently, and isn't that interesting, though, that he had surely been somewhat exposed to the gospel, but did he meet Jesus? He apparently fled to Rome, Onesimus did, possibly to hide among the masses. There he ran into Paul, who was in prison at the time. Paul led him to Jesus, and they became quite close. Now, we're talking about Paul and Onesimus became close. Paul led Philemon to the Lord. They knew each other. And probably through Paul's help, that's how the church at Colossae got established, got founded. But Paul, or Onesimus, met Paul while he was in prison in Rome. And they got really close. They didn't just become brothers. They got close. And you'll be able to read that letter again and again, and you'll see the incredible closeness that took place between them. He apparently fled to Rome, possibly to hide among the masses. There he ran into Paul, who was in prison at the time. Paul led him to Jesus, and they became quite close. In his letter to Philemon, he speaks very highly of Onesimus and uses language that appears to show them having a very close relationship. For example, it seems that Onesimus would do things such as run errands for Paul. And look at the letter. See, this is important stuff, because if you look at the letter, you'll start noticing these are the factors that are there. Not specifically that he ran errands, but it sounds like that. And it sounds like he did a lot of things to help him. And Paul wanted to keep him with him, you know. And for example, it seems that Onesimus would do things such as run errands for Paul, get him provisions, make communications for him, and other things valuable to a man who is in prison. While the scriptures do not declare these things specifically, they do show that Paul greatly appreciated this man and appreciated his value to him. And that was the thing that Paul communicated, his value to him. What a blessing he was in those terms. He spoke very highly of him and esteemed his service to him. What is interesting here is that Onesimus had fled because of serving another man. Onesimus had fled being a slave because of serving another man and disdained the lowly position of watching after the needs of others as their slave. Yeah. Where did I go? Where did I leave off here? In an attempt to get away from such things, he had risked his own life to escape this. Because back then, you could have your slave put to death. Okay, so he's literally risking his life to get away from this. In this bad situation. But in Paul's letter, after receiving Christ, we hear of him doing much the same thing, except he's doing it unto Jesus to the benefit of Paul. Do you get that? That Onesimus ran away from Philemon because he didn't want to serve and he didn't want to be put in that position. But when Onesimus gets away, he meets Paul. Paul leads him to the Lord, and now Paul's in prison and can't do anything, and Onesimus is doing all this stuff for him. You get that? It's like, what? There is no incentive for him to serve a prisoner. Right. Onesimus does not even have the luxury of being known as a servant to a wealthy and honorable man. He now serves a crucified master and a prisoner. It's gotten worse. If you're looking for, if you were a slave to some really rich, famous man or Caesar or somebody like that, when you hung out with the other slaves, they go, I served the man himself, you know. And you'd find, but you know why? Because pride will find a way to seep out and to glory, you know. I'm a top-notch slave. I serve Caesar. And there's an identification there. But he traded in a guy that was rich, Philemon, who, you know, was well known in that area. And Onesimus, as it were, becomes a servant to Paul and to Jesus. To Jesus, but therefore to Paul. And all of these things play such a huge picture in these wordings and the exact usage of the words. It's like it's like these facts, when you look at them through the eyes of the Spirit, you begin to realize, oh my God, this thing is not a little sketch. This thing is an incredible, huge mural. A big old mural that has the glory of the Lord all through it, and just 25 verses, and you're just going, oh my Lord, how he's going to make this tapestry, you know, put it together, and he does, and the Lord is in it, and you can tell the Lord is in that letter. Hallelujah. But here is where we see the intimacy between these two men who have laid down their lives for Jesus. Because Paul had laid, Paul's a prisoner, and he laid down his life for Jesus. And Onesimus had been a slave, and now he's laying down his life. He was a slave, so he runs away from that, and then he meets Jesus through Paul, and he lays down his freedom. Isn't that crazy? Unless it's Christ. It's crazy unless it's Christ. Paul felt so close to him that he called him his son in the faith, and even called him my heart. My heart. All right, so now we want to talk a little bit about Paul in this situation. Basically, we're just giving the backstory here. You know, we hadn't even gotten into anything. This isn't even the good stuff. But we're just laying it out so that you can understand. You know, if it was like a play and we walked into that play and we had just three people on stage and we were able to watch everything and do it, you have to know the basic story so that the Holy Spirit can breathe life into every part of it. Hallelujah. Paul. Ouch. I did it while ago to Philemon and it didn't hurt. I was working today, and I use a stylus on my iPad, and I was working like this and doing it. But every time I hit, it would give a little shock. And by this was yesterday and today. And last night when I went to bed, I said, oh, I got to quit, you know, because it was starting to feel like a shock going through my finger where I injured it. And so I started doing it with this finger, and the shock actually quit because it's going through your body, not some stiff object, which should teach us something about when you're stiff-necked. The Lord has a hard time, you know, dealing with us, getting anything done. All right, the players. Paul the prisoner. Paul the prisoner. Oh, woe is Paul. He's a prisoner. You know, oh, it's so horrible. We'll have a lot to say about that. All right, Paul the prisoner. The rebellious slave returns to his master and to the church in his house. Is that loaded or what? The rebellious slave returns to his master, because that's what Paul's doing. He's sending him back to him. He is. He returns to his master and to the church in his house now. Before he was out in the slave quarters, now he's going to be sitting in church. I wonder what could go through his mind, Philemon's mind. But not only that, the rebellious slave returns to his master and to the church in his house, having the highest favor and words of honor from a man whom they all honor, the Apostle Paul. Oh, man. Oh, man. You know, anybody ever had something against somebody else, ever? I used to, too, a lot. But anyway. Oh, it was a fifth. I'm sorry.
That's simple fifth.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking, I used to take my Bible and, you know, hold it up like this and say, we need to drink of the living word, the living wells. And later I quit doing that because I realized that not everybody is drinking. Some people are just gargling, you know what I mean? Spitting it back out, you know. All right. Having the highest honor from a man whom they all honor, the Apostle Paul, he leaves in disgrace but returns as one looked upon as the beloved son of the apostle. I mean, this is powerful stuff when we get into it. This has all transpired not because of any work or goodness within Onesimus, but because God, through a man, took him in and poured Jesus into him and loved what most people saw as unlovable. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. In the church, this means Onesimus returns. In the church, others might hold him with suspicion and doubt that he is nothing but a traitor and worthless. In the church. Didn't you get in trouble with the law? I don't know, buddy. I'm watching you. But then you can watch me because I've been in trouble too.
You can watch us.
We just watch each other and praise Jesus. From then on, they might watch his every move, see, and action, looking for negative proof of what they know to be true of him. See. Of course, he will fail, right? Eventually, he's going to fail some way. He's not going to fail the Lord, but I mean, he'll mess up some way, and they'll be waiting. Of course, he will fail. Of course, his attitude will not always be Christ at work in him. But that's true of us all, isn't it? Despite these things, a man of God championed his cause and stood with him when others would not. We give no credit to man for what we see at work in Paul, because it's nothing short of Christ crucified.
Amen.
It is. It's nothing short of Christ crucified. All right, so closing out this backstory. Isn't that what you call it? The backstory. In closing out our backstory, we find in the book of Colossians that Tychicus carried the epistle of Colossians to that church. Let's just turn to Colossians 4. Let's see. I've got it here. And that way you can see, because there, one reason why I was going to do this with Colossians was because they're closely tied. Most of everything that happened in Colossians with that church, this was going on at about the same time. Okay, Colossians chapter 4, and beg your pardon? Oh. Okay, 4, beginning with verse 7. We'll read 7 through 9. All my stuff. Now, here's the deal. And I'll explain this, but this letter is coming back at the same time this letter is arriving, and we'll see that in a second. All my state, this is Paul writing, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you, for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts, with whom Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, Okay, here's the deal. They get both of these letters at the same time. They don't know the slave is one of them yet. They don't know he's beloved. They don't know anything except what's going on here, all right? And this is Paul with this letter to the church. Yeah, you talk about problems in the church. This is going to really stir it up, huh? With in verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Okay, so, and then he greets the same bunch of people, not the same one, but Aristarchus and Mark or Marcus in that letter also. All right, so in closing our backstory, we find in the book of Colossians that Tychicus carried the epistle or the letter called the book of Colossians to that church. He also brought Onesimus back to Philemon and probably carried this letter to Philemon at the same time. Wow. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, whom I have sent to you with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved. Faithful doesn't fit him, according to their mind. Right? It does not fit. Unfaithful. Rebellious. See. All right. Now, let me give you some facts about this letter. And one of the things I'm going to do is sometimes I'm going to stop and just say, look up a few things. I mean, it's 25 verses. Come on. And we'll just try to check some things out as we go together. And that means, excuse me, those on Skype, you're welcome to join in and look in the scriptures with us. It'll be situations of looking up stuff in the book of Philemon. All right, you know, here's some facts about the letter. You know about the Colossian church and the book of Colossians. Now meet its leader and location where it met. All right, how many of you thought of Colossians, the Colossians church, as a big old church? Be honest, raise your hand. Big old bunch of people. If it couldn't be that big, they're meeting in God's house. And all of the, there was no church buildings back then. They met in houses. And let's hope that there were more members than, you know, Aristarchus and Marcus and, you know, because it didn't sound like a lot when he says, you know. But I would bet you that it wasn't very many people, because the early church was just little home groups, basically at that time, one per city. That was it. So in our minds, we read the book of Colossians and we go, oh, this is going to these people that are really, you know, and this, you know, and this letter, it's so good, it's fixing to hit them in the face. Because it's like, here's the letter and here's Onesimus. You know. So what is your reaction to finding out that it was probably just a little bitty group? And it wasn't a big church. And it wasn't a big thing going on. It was, and Philemon was the guy who was running it. We go, that's the littlest book in there. Philemon was kind of like the pastor. Well, he was, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, can this stuff mess with your mind when you start finding out the real backstory of what things are going on here? All right. So I wrote, most likely it was a very small house church. Colossians, the letter to the seven people. So who carried the letter? Tychicus. Are you Tychicus? Onesimus traveled along with the letter to Colossians. So I'm just going over this stuff again. But Tychicus was sent by Paul, Onesimus followed him and went back to the Colossian church, and I'm assuming the way Colossians reads, because it's to the church there, it doesn't say to Philemon. Philemon says to Philemon. I'm assuming Tychicus gets there with Onesimus, and Tychicus says to Philemon, here's your letter from Paul, and I'll read this one in the church. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. So, okay, and it's good to picture these things. So, I'm assuming, you know, Paul probably talked to Tychicus while he was in prison in Rome. He says, okay, so head back to Colossae, the city of Colossae, and Onesimus, you go with him. It was at least a three-day journey, which 3 days and three nights, Jesus was in the, you know. So one of the things you have to try to take into consideration, because it's like you've got this thing, this letter to the church, the Colossian church. So and it's got all this great stuff in it. But at the same time this letter arrives to the church, Onesimus is one of the big shots in the church. Philemon is one of the big shots in the church. Okay? And the other letter hits, and it's like the whole church just goes, oh! Kind of looks like that. Everything that's going on with Philemon and that letter and this guy here, Onesimus, is going to affect this church.
That's right?
Right? Everything that's going on, and no matter what all has been going on of missions, outreaches, or this or that, or all those things, this church is going to be shook in a different kind of way. Doesn't matter what all's going on, there's going to be this big issue that everyone is going to be aware of, because every time they gather together, there's that guy. You know what I mean? And Paul's sending Onesimus, and Paul could have just sent Onesimus and said, Philemon, deal with it. Right? But he really doesn't. The whole spirit in which he communicates, he delivers Christ. All right. And then remembering that Paul is not sitting in some hierarchical chair in a big building that's a religious edifice where he says, Tychicus, go and take this brother. He's sitting in prison. You see how these things, they're all going to play in such a weird, different way. They're going to have to fit together in a completely different way than just the world, or the way we might even think. Well, here's how you do that, and here's how you do that. All right. I can't see because of the glare either. Okay. Did we move that thing? Oh, we never did? Oh, I told somebody we moved it and we helped it. Would you do me a favor? Can you reach it and pull it down just for a second? Okay, hold it right there. Can you push it up against the wall? It's glaring right there. Pull it down lower. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Now it's behind the counter. No, it's not really. Right there would be the spot. It's perfect right there. And if this chalkboard wasn't here, I would jump up there and see if it would also work for up there, because the glare is going to be different from every angle. All right, sorry, didn't mean to get off there. The next subtitle is Comparing Philemon with Paul's Other Letters or Epistles. Everyone knows that an epistle is The wife of an apostle, right? Okay. No, an epistle is it's just a letter. That's all it is. It just means letter. So if I say the epistle of Paul to the Colossians, it just means the letter that Paul wrote. Most of Paul's letters were written to churches. He wrote privately to two workers whom had worked closely with Paul in the ministry, Timothy and Titus. But this letter was to a Christian brother. What's funny is when I was just reading over this, when we were preparing to come, I had misspelled the word brother. I'd left out a word, and I was reading this, and it says, but this letter was to a Christian father. And I thought, oh boy, I think I'm right on this. That's what the way they're going to look at that. A Christian brother, and it was written with one specific purpose. This is the shortest letter that Paul wrote. It is biggest in terms of showing how the nature of Christ crucified is to be applied in real life. From this letter, we must agree that his letters are weighty and powerful. That's what was said of him, or he quoted that people had said of him. They say, your letters are weighty and powerful. Philemon is truly weighty and powerful. Okay, and then this final part, hopefully I can... What time is it actually? 5:02. Yes. You're good. She doesn't just hold it up there like oh, here it is. She looks like Vanna White or something. She goes... Okay, spiritual purpose for writing this letter. Some people might say that this letter deals with problems and has little to say to us of Jesus. But search the book and you will find 12 times out of 25 verses God is mentioned, and most of those say Jesus. In fact, I think only one time it says God or the Father. That's a lot. When we think of the abundance of the phrase in Christ, we think of the book of Ephesians, but Philemon uses it more within the same amount of verses than anywhere else. And it's used there 5 times. There is no doctrinal teaching in the book of Philemon concerning Christ crucified, only the application of what has become life and second nature to Paul. Therefore, the book can be summed up by, in parentheses and capitals, the living Lamb of God. Why was this simple and small letter preserved over the ages? Because it carries not just a message of the gospel or even the impartation of the teachings of the gospel, but it carries the essence of God. Here in this book, we're not hearing Jesus' word and are changed. We are touching his garment, resulting in that which is inside of him coming into us. He is the change. Another purpose for this letter being written is so that Paul might also want to see if others, Philemon, others will act according to his flesh or will be able to see through the circumstances in order to apply what he has been taught previously. There's one thing we must keep in mind. The content of this letter and the spirit in which it was written is not a testimony to Paul's nature, not a testimony to his graciousness or letter-writing ability, nor can it be attributed merely to God's supernatural ability coming upon Paul. To the Lamb of God goes all glory. One of the things I found in looking at other people's writings, I never found anyone who didn't attribute it to Paul and who said Paul was a really good Christian, he had really good Christian character, and and all of this stuff, totally left out Jesus of the whole thing. I'll admit that when I was younger, people used to speak nicer to one another. But the times have really changed. But even then, it wasn't Christ. But at least, for example, if you watch a sitcom nowadays, they are so abusive to everyone. The language is horrible, and we just watch all that and we get used to it and everything. And the reality shows do the same thing. They pick the person, for sure within the mix, the person with the worst attitude who will attack and say the worst things. And everyone wants, you know, they can't do a show without that. They have to have that. And then we watch all that stuff and we, you know. And so to even mention Christ crucified is like, it's just so foreign that it's not even real. Well, nobody's that way. Well, Jesus is that way, and we have Jesus in us, and, you know. And, you know, that's, but it's that, that whole attitude is just taken over, and all the stuff that we just get used to. I mean, the Caitlyn Jenner thing. Anybody? Do you know who Caitlyn? Okay, there you go. I got the name from you. You know, gosh, poor thing. But I actually I have a confession to make. Yeah, see, I'm getting red. I'm glad Mike Wallace isn't here. He'd laugh at me. But I used to feel like a man inside a woman's body. But then I got born. Anyway, Scott. Yes. Well, and that's, you know, it doesn't tell us. But we have to examine all sides, don't we? Because it could, what you're saying is absolutely could be the case. All right. I'm going to assume that clock's flipped. And so let's take a break and we'll come back in about 10 minutes.